Earth's Great Jubilee.
Well, while we're waiting, we're going to talk about Earth's Great Jubilee. And one of the first things we're going to discuss is why is the Jubilee important? Well, the Jubilee has, there's many, many reasons why it's important, but one thing we want to do is we want to go back in time in our minds to Brother Russell's day and look at how did the Lord dispense the truth. Well, the first thing that they were looking for, the first thing that really got things going was an understanding of Bible chronology and understanding of the Jubilees that we're going to talk about. That's how they understood, that's really how they understood the harvest truth. This was really the beginning. The Lord's return was really the beginning feature of the harvest truth. It was after they understood the Lord's return that then they said, okay, now what? What does it mean? And that's when really they started putting the other pieces together, the object and manner of the Lord's return, the blessing of all the families of the earth. That really came after an understanding of the Lord's return. So it's interesting that when we hear, so again, why study it? Well, it's a type in the law. It's wonderful lessons for the church. But you absolutely need this to understand God's plan. If you don't understand the Jubilees, you really can't understand God's plan because you don't know where you are on the stream of time. Because the main thing about God's plan is the times of restitution. That's what the apostles and the disciples were asking about. When is the times of restitution? Because they realized the only way to have life on any plane of existence is when the Lord returns. When the Lord returns, everybody, those who die in Adam, those who die in Christ, they're all dead forever until the Lord's return. So this was absolutely the most important thing to them. That's why they asked the questions in Matthew 24. That was the whole purpose of it. So to understand these things. So without an understanding of the Lord's return, which we get from the Jubilee, you can't understand this little thing right here. You can't understand it. It's absolutely crucial. Yes, the ransom is the hub, but when did really the knowledge of the ransom come? It was really with the Lord's return. That's when it all was put together. So we'd like to start with the big picture, beginning with Adam. And we know that all of God's work is perfect. He tells us in Deuteronomy 32:4, his work is perfect. He created Adam from the dust of the earth. Notice he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We're going to come back to that. Adam had life, a perfect character. He had dominion, which we talked about briefly today. We'll come back to that. Communion with God, all of these things as he was created. But we know that Adam fell. He sinned. He fell. Cursed was the ground. In the sweat of thy face, you're going to have to make a living. And now life was drudgery every day, working from sunup to sundown just to stay alive, just to have food in your belly and clothes on your back and a roof over your head, working constantly. Virtually no discretionary time at all, the way we have. I mean, we are spoiled. We have so much discretionary time. And then they just go right back to the dust. Dying thou shalt die. We're all familiar with these things. So what Adam lost was his life, his perfect character. He lost dominion because of unfaithfulness to God's law. He couldn't be God's righteous representative if he breaks God's law. God would say, you broke my law, you're fired. Dominion's gone. I've got to look for somebody else to do my law perfectly, and then they'll get the dominion. We'll come back to that. And he lost communion with God. Well, was there any future hope? Well, we're very familiar with the idea of the seed of the woman, a very shrouded promise. But then in Genesis 22:18, and thy seed shall, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And as we mentioned yesterday, this is simple to figure out, all the nations of the earth. That's everybody. But here's the tough part. Who's the seed? Who's the seed? Well, it's not so tough when you see the ideas of God's plan. And here's also a wonderful blessing, Ezekiel 11. I'll put a new spirit, ruach, within you, that they may walk in my statutes, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So here's a showing that God's relationship would be restored as well. Wonderful blessings. Well, if we look at the promised future blessings, now all in Adam die, but eventually all in Christ shall be made alive. They shall be his people. God himself will be their God. The former things will pass away, and he'll make all things new. Well, former things passing away, all things new. What does that sound like? You make all things new. That's a great restoration. That's a restitution. But the big question would be when. That's what the brethren really wanted to know. Actually, they wanted to know, when is the Lord going to return? And the Miller movement, they did a lot of study with that. They slumbered and slept. But note, they didn't slumber and slept with respect to their study of the Scriptures. They slumbered and slept with respect to understanding the Lord's return, because they realized, we can't figure this out. Only at due time when they could figure it out. Now the other pieces of the Scripture that they're studying continuously, now they could put those pieces together. So the timing. When is the timing? The when part. Well, Acts 3:19 through 21, repent ye therefore that you're and be converted, sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, or out from the face of Jehovah, and he shall send Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things. When we look at this refreshing, when the times of refreshing, this means recovery of breath. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, and it became a living soul. It's going back to this picture of this breath. And also the times, this times of restitution, it's plural. And when you say the times, you may think, well, it's, you know, a big span of time. But it was really a fixed or special occasion. So it's something fixed in God's plan. So I really appreciate the Greek. The New Testament was written in Greek. Greek is a very, very precise language. Has many, many words that have very, very fine nuances and meaning. Whereas Hebrew, you really have to, there aren't as many words. You have to understand the context, but Greek is very, very precise. And I think it was written in Greek, so we could really get that precision and see what God was actually saying. So this idea of this times of restitution, this is telling us when the Lord will return. Because when this time of restitution would happen, that tells you he has sent Jesus Christ to do this. So this is the Lord's return, or the day of the Lord. Now, if you look through the Scriptures, you'll find this day of the Lord is the single most prominent feature of all Scripture. That's how important it is. The single most important feature, because there is no life without the Lord's return. There is no life. Absolutely crucial. So when we look at this day of the Lord, we can look at several Scriptures that refer to this. One day of the Lord is as 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 4, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Actually, this is an interpolation. They should be saying they reigned with Christ 1,000 years, or really during this 1,000 years. That's really a better understanding. It's just that the translators are trying to take what is coming from the Greek and put it into the English, and they don't know how to do it, because they don't really know what's meant. But it's they came to life and reigned with Christ during this 1,000 years. Well, we have a venerable tradition, which Brother Russell talks about, but the reason he says this is it comes right from the law, which the law says that you'd have 6 days of labor followed by a Sabbath day of rest in Exodus 20. So if we have the day of the Lord is 1,000 years, which would be a day of rest, then the 6 days of labor would be 6,000 years. So that only makes sense. So, if we want to know when does this wonderful day begin, this day of the Lord, all we have to find out is when did the fall take place. That's all we really need to know. But we don't have much information about exactly when the fall took place. So we're going to have to back into that idea. So when was this? Well, we can logically look at some things. It would have to be at least 6,000 years after this sweat of face took place. That tells us it has to be at least 6,000 years after Adam's creation. Now, he was perfect for a while, but at this point we don't know how long. He sinned at some point. So we would have to say it's at least 6,000 years after Adam's creation. Because there was some time in the garden before sin. Well, if we take a look at the chronology, we can look at the chronology starting with Adam and going from there. And if we look at the, Adam was created in the sixth creative day from Genesis. God created man in his own image, and this was in the sixth day. Now, we're not going to read through this, but I think we're well familiar with the numbers here from Adam to the flood, 1656. If you go all the way through the Abrahamic covenant, giving the law, division of Canaan for 6 years, period of the judges, period of the kings, as well as the desolation, down to the first year of Cyrus, and you add all that up, you add all this up, and here we're going on this chronology chart, which I think we should be familiar with. It's all starting with man being created in this sixth creative day, 1656 years, 427, etc. But the question is, how do you match this? These are all relative numbers. You have these durations, but they could slide back and forth. Where do you put them on our calendar? What you need to know is, where do you slide this on our calendar, and you put in a push pin and say, okay, now I know where that event is, and now we can know the actual year on our calendar where all these things happen. Well, that turns out to be the first year of Cyrus, because we know that that's 536 BC on our calendar, and we know where it is with respect to the counting of all the years in God's chronology that he's given us in the scriptures. We can then get to the BCAD line. I'm sorry, this you don't have on your, I just saw this didn't print on your handout. So we can count up 4,128 years to that BCAD, but if we're going to count out the 6,000 years to find out when is absolutely the soonest we would even start looking for the Lord's return, 6,000 years from that would give us 1,872 years. So that would tell us this thousand-year day of the Lord must begin somewhere, either at this point or afterwards. Now, we haven't determined when it would be, but we've determined when it can't be. It can't be before this, okay? So it has to come after this. So the question is, how do we find this? We know it's a duration of 6,000 years. Well, if we knew the end point, either the fall or restitution, if we knew either one of these, exactly when the fall is or when restitution would begin, we know this 6,000-year period, then we could start figuring things out. Now, it turns out we can't find directly when the fall happened. That's not documented for us. So we're going to look at some types in the law. For the law was a shadow of good things to come. The law had types in it. And what we want to look at is there a type of restitution in the law? If so, the antitype of that would be the restitution of all things. So we look at the lesson from the Jubilee in the Leviticus 25. When ye come into the land, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. And notice who's keeping the Sabbath. The land is. The land. This is about the land. So 6 years you'll sow, prune, etc. The land will be used. In the seventh year, it's a Sabbath of rest unto the land. Very important, rest unto the land. A Sabbath for the Lord, but the land is what is resting. In other words, there's no harvesting, no planting, etc. Don't use the land for your financial or agricultural benefit. Well, this is a wonderful lesson of restoration. And if we look through this, they were to number seven Sabbaths of years, or 49 years, or we'll go through that in a minute. And then in Leviticus 25:9, cause this trumpet of Jubilee to sound in the 10th day of the 7th month and the Day of Atonement, and proclaim liberty all throughout the land. This would be the Jubilee to you. So here's, we have the type. And here's the rest of this verse. And ye shall return every man unto his possession. Here's really the key. Returning every man unto his possession. What is that? That's typical restitution. So we found the typical restitution. Now, if we can find from this somehow what is the antitype of this, we should see the restitution of all things. So the typical Jubilee, this is return every man unto his possession. Well, this sounds a whole lot like, behold, I make all things new. And the times of restitution spoken by all of God's holy prophets, which would happen at the time of the Lord's return. These two are linked, inextricably linked. So if we take a look at this antitypical Jubilee, When could it happen? Because Israel quit observing the Jubilees thousands of years ago. Well, Jesus told us the one jot or one tittle cannot pass from the law until it's fulfilled. So there must be a fulfillment that's not apparent to everybody. And what we want to do is take a look at what that fulfillment could be, because the type cannot end without the fulfillment. So what we'd like to do is say, when did the type end? And we should then see that's when the antitype is beginning, when the type ended. Very important. So in the typical Jubilee, they were told, when you come into the land, count 6 years, then you'll have a Sabbath year. Then count 7 times 7 of the Sabbath years, that'll give you 49 years. And then the 50th year will be the Jubilee year. And then repeat. Do this and repeat. Do this and repeat. So here's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and the 7th year was a Sabbath year. The Sabbath year for the land. And then we come to 7 times 7 of these cycles, and then here's the important one, the Jubilee, right here, this guy. That's the important one. And this is a cycle of 50 years. Now we'd like to do an aside for a second and take a look at what is a year. Because there are lots of different calendars floating around here. If you look in Great Pyramid Passages, there's a wonderful little 4 or 5 page chapter called The Year, and it really explains all these things. The civil year began around the autumnal equinox. That's around October, October 1st. And when before Exodus 12, you'll find that the way they did their calendar was just like all the rest of the world. The year began around October. And it went from October 1st to October 1st. And they were like all the other nations, and when they would buy or sell, or you have any agreements with land or purchasing, all of this has to do with the civil year. In fact, if we look at Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, at Tishri, this is in October. It's following their civil year. But their religious year in Exodus 12:12, in their religious year, which has to do with the Passover, this is where God says, I don't want you to be like any other nations, and you're going to be 6 months different from everybody else. So Israel was set apart as far as their religious year. So when we look at the year, there are actually three types of years, which could be confusing, but it's pretty simple when you straighten it out. Here's our year from January 1st to January 1st. Pope Gregory, we have to thank for that, our Gregorian calendar. But the Israel's religious year was really around the spring, around April 1st or so, in the spring to the spring. But what we're really concerned about is the civil year, which goes from October to October. This is how the Jubilees are based. Now, I think we're all familiar with the 2,520 years, and we'd like to review that just very quickly. These blue markers that you see, that represents October. So if we come back to 606 BC, 606 BC begins in January, according to the Gregorian calendar. But actually, according to the civil calendar, it starts the previous October, in October 607. Now, if we add this up and we went from October 607 to 2520 years, we'd find October 1914, precisely. This is very satisfying to me once I read this chapter on the year, because I realize it all adds up. So if we go from the beginning of 606 to the BC 80 line, 606 full years, from that line till the end of 1913, that's 1,913 years. Then we added the little quarter year, the little three-quarters of a year. What do we get? Precisely 2,520 years. So God is precise timekeeper. When Brother Russell talks about this sometimes, he gives rounded numbers to make it simple for everybody to understand. But, you know, for years I didn't really get this until I read this little chapter on the year, and I sat down with, you know, this is arithmetic, really. And I sat down and I thought, oh, it makes perfect sense. Of course, it should. So now we want to go back to the Jubilee. So if we have the antitype is beginning when the type ends, what we'd like to do is then look for when is the ending of the type. When does the type end? Well, we know from the chronology, and from 536, we can then go back from 536 to this year when they entered the land, which was 1576 BC. Now, they would start. Now, notice not when you conquer the land, because they never really conquered it. It was when they came into the land. That's when they would start these counting. So they count the 50 years, and this represents the Jubilee year. And they were to keep doing this every 50 years. Keep going, 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 going. That's what God intended. And he told them, if you don't do it, really bad things are going to happen. He said, if you won't keep my Sabbaths, and keep in mind, this is the Sabbath having to do with the Sabbath years. This is not the seventh day of the week. This has to do with the Sabbath years, the seventh year, as it repeats in the Jubilee year. It says, if you'll not hearken unto me, I'll punish you seven times. Well, it turns out they were punished. The beginning of that was October 607 B.C., and that's really when they had 70 years of desolation of the land. They were taken off the land for 70 years. Of course, because of that, they couldn't have any Jubilee at this time, so all these Jubilee cycles, they're gone. Their observance is now gone. That can't. So if we look at that, we'll see that October 626 is actually when this type ends. Or October 6, and that would give us, if we go from 1576, it's 950 years, which equals 19 Jubilees, plus we have another 19 years over here. That'll bring us up to the 607 B.C., and that is also the point at which the 2520 years begins. So it all fits together. Now, we want to look at both both an ending and a beginning. As the type ends in 626 B.C., we have the antitype beginning. But as the antitype is larger, instead of 7 times 7, we're going to take 50 times 50. We'll give us 2,520 years. So what we're looking for is the 50th year. That would be the times of restitution. So we're going to begin to count in October 626. We're going to count out 50 times 50, 2,500 years. We'll just sort of move this over a little bit. That's when the antitype begins. So we have the typical counting cycles with Jubilees. The 2,520 years, that ends in October 1875. That would tell us that that 50th year began in October 1874. But as this antitype is much larger than the type, we replace that 1 year, which begins in October 1874. That would be the 1,000-year day of the Lord, and there's our times of restitution. Okay, there's our times of restitution. One jot or tittle cannot pass. So if we look at the type, we have 950 years in this typical cycle, and then the antitype includes a counting cycle as well as the times of restitution. Okay. This is according to the law. This is according to what God intended. Now we also have a prophetic corroboration of what actually took place. Now, if we look at Leviticus 26, where God says, if you must keep my Sabbaths, and if you don't, I'll punish you seven times. He goes on to say, I'll scatter you among the heathen, and your land shall be desolate, and then the land shall rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. So this is about the land. He's saying, here's what, I'm doing this for the land. Then in 2 Chronicles 36:21, now this was written when they're in Babylon. This is when this desolation landed. They're actually living it. And he says, then the land shall enjoy her Sabbath to fill 70 years. So we realize God had intended 70 years of these Jubilee cycles. Here's the reality of it actually happening, the punishment. Here's when they were told, this is back in Leviticus. This is when they're at Mount Sinai. They were told, here's what I'll do, and here's when God is actually doing it. But he says, then I will remember my covenant, and I will remember the land. In other words, you're not completely forsaken. So if we look at the prophetic corroboration, we can still start with 1576 B.C. with the 19 typical cycles, or 950 years, with the Jubilees. Then we have the 19 years and the 70 years of captivity or desolation of the land, really, which this last typical cycle ends in October 626 B.C. But since God already told them there should be 70, 70, 70, 70, if we take the 70 intended Jubilee cycles, we subtract the 19 where they did them half-heartedly, but at least they observed them. That means there must be another 51 from God's standpoint that still must take place. However, because Israel was now taken off the land, and when they came back, they were now a vassal state. They were not independent. They couldn't do the Jubilees anymore. So we would have now 51 cycles with no Jubilees. Well, 51 times 49, in other words, it would be the 7 times 7, but no Jubilee year. 51 times 49 is the 2499. So we have 51 typical cycles, or 2499 years without the Jubilees. And it's important to know that these are still typical. We're still looking at the typical cycles. But when would this end? Well, this ends exactly in October 1874. The 51 cycles end. Then I will remember my covenant, and this is when the times of restitution will begin, during which he will make all things new. Israel will get their land back. This is the beginning of this with the Lord's return and this process. So if we take a look at this, the type is now 3449 years according to prophecy, and the antitype is 1,000. So what is the type and what is the antitype is different when you look at it according to the law or you look at it according to the prophecy. What actually happened. So if you compare these, you see we have 19 typical cycles when they entered the land, and then 51 typical cycles without Jubilees and the times of restitution, whereas in the law, we have the 19 cycles with Jubilees, and then we're starting an anti-typical counting cycle of 2,520 years. That last year is now replaced with the 1,000-year day of the Lord. So that's how they're put together, and they come out precisely at exactly the same time. Precisely the same time. Thrilling. Thrilling. Just imagine what the brethren were. Just imagine back in Brother Russell's day, in the very, very early years. Very early years. In fact, if you look up the earliest reference to the Jubilees in the reprints, you'll find it's in 1879, and they're talking about it, that this has already been established. We know what's happening here. I mean, this is beyond question. This was really the basis that really spurred them on to want to know, okay, now what? What does this mean? What does this mean? Because they knew the Lord returned. They knew these things were happening. Well, this idea of times of restitution, what does restitution really mean? let's go back to Bible chronology briefly. So if we have from Adam, 6,000 years from Adam to October 1872 is 6,000 years, which would tell us and we know that the 6,000 years sweat of face would end, or the beginning of the end would be October 1874, the times of restitution. How do we put this together? Well, it tells us from Adam until October 1874 is 6,002 years. 6,002 years. So that we can deduce from that, or a deduction is Adam must have been in the garden for 2 years, sinless. During those last 2 years of the sixth epochal day. So if we go back to this chart, we'll see that here's Adam's creation in the end of the sixth day, but his fall was really at the beginning of the seventh day. In fact, Adam's fall defined the beginning of that seventh day. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, that's really documenting one day, the day that fall took place. That's what that's really doing. With that, all of these other chronological features, now they all fit into place. So with the Jubilee lessons, that tells us about the times of restitution. It tells us, therefore, that means the Lord must have returned. It tells us when the end of the 6,000-year sweat of face would begin. Now, when I came down here to Florida, I drove in a car. I listened to a symphony on the way. I had a temperature control. I had a shock absorbers in case there were any little bumps in the road, because I don't want to, I don't want it to disturb my peace. Then I walked into this larger compartment. I sat somewhere. I listened to music. I read. I flew 1,000 miles. And then I walked through a carpeted corridor, and here I was. There was no sweat of face for me. If I had any problems with any of that, it's because of my own stupidity. It's not because of what the Lord had provided. Now, not all the world has this yet. Some of the world has still some pretty tough times. But it's a gradual restitution. So, we can find out Adam's fall based on really Adam's creation, the 2 years in the garden, the beginning of the seventh creative day, the beginning of the Lord's return. And this will tell us what the blessing of the 1335 days is, because this is not a proof, this is a corroboration. Okay, well, has restitution begun? Well, to find the answer, we want to trace the dominion of earth. Trace the dominion of earth. And there are lots of scriptures here. God says, let them have dominion, which Adam lost. Then we have, thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. We're told the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. The law, which if a man do, he shall live in them. Now note that God is going to give dominion. He gave it to Adam initially, contingent upon Adam's obedience to his laws. What God is looking for is the one who can keep his laws inviolate, and he'll now get the job of having that dominion of earth. Now, that won't work if this one who has dominion is dead. But if this one can lay down his life as he is keeping and fulfilling the law, proving his absolute obedience and fidelity to God's laws, he can then be given the scepter so that at his resurrection, he will now own earth. Now own earth. So at his return, he can now begin these things. In Psalm 132, of the fruit of thy body I'll set upon thy throne. John 15:10, I have kept my Father's commandments. Revelation 5:12, worthy is the Lamb to be slain, who was slain to receive power and riches. But we put all this together and we can see this really is Emmanuel's ground. And I gave a talk on this a couple of years ago here. Jesus was the son of David. He was the seed of Abraham because he kept the law. Not because he died, but because he kept the law. He kept the law until his death. He got the ransom price by his death. Those are two distinct things. Very important. But he's the seed of Abraham because he kept the law. He has the scepter really at his resurrection, and he would start exercising it at his return. So at his return, he has the dominion of earth, and he can start fixing up planet Earth in preparation for the blood being applied. Blood's not applied yet. Mankind's still dying. There's no restoration as far as mankind. You know, I'm still getting old and gray. Anybody here not getting old and gray and decrepit? Please raise your hand. That is still happening. But we're living in a world being prepared by fallen man for a place where fallen man no longer belongs. Look at the internet. That's not for fallen man, that's for perfect man. All these other things, that's for perfect man. Restitution has begun, even though the blood has not yet been applied, because the returned Lord, he realizes what's going on. It's just like any expectant couple. They know they're going to have a baby. They don't wait till they go to the hospital, see what happens, and say, gee, maybe we should buy a crib. No, they get this already months ahead of time. They're getting the nursery ready. They're buying the crib. They're figuring out names. They're doing all this preparation. That's really what we're living through right now. Since the Lord's return, we have all this technology. It's just being misused right now. So restitution, as far as the earth is concerned, has begun. In Harvest Gleanings, Volume 3, page 864, Brother Russell is mentioning this. Restitution, so far as the earth is concerned, can begin before such blessings come to the world of mankind. So, this restitution, the Isaiah scriptures are very near and dear to all our hearts. That in that day, this is our God. We have waited for him. We will rejoice in his salvation. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants will learn righteousness. Well, this reminds me of Pennsylvania Dutch brand egg noodles. Are there any? I know there's a sister here from Pennsylvania. I don't know if you ever heard about this. But when I was a kid, I heard the truth when I was 32. Okay? When I was a kid, I didn't know anything. I went to a Presbyterian church. But we lived in Pennsylvania Dutch area in Pennsylvania. And we would see, this is the Pennsylvania Dutch brand egg noodles, and there was an ad on the radio like every half hour. Pennsylvania Dutch brand egg noodles. Get to know what good is. Get to know what good is. That was their motto. Well, when I learned the truth and I heard about the times of restitution, That's God's motto too. Get to know mankind, get to know what good is. Get to know what good is. So, now if we step back and look at the big picture of the seven creative days, each one 7,000 years, here we are on this last one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're actually in the 7,000 year part of this 7,000 year creative day. That's where we are. We're in the beginning of it, only a couple hours into it. But when that is complete, this will be the 50,000 year when all mankind are now reconciled to God. That 50th year. Now notice that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, that's interesting. Well, Leviticus 23, it says, and in the eighth day shall he be circumcised. And the circumcision was peel away all the picture of peel away all the selfishness of the flesh. We are supposed to have circumcised hearts. All of mankind will have the selfishness taken away from their character. They'll have perfect characters. All mankind will be in harmony with God. Now, this is after 2874. All mankind will be in this position. Paul says, but he is a Jew which was one inwardly, and has circumcision as that of the heart. This will be all mankind. All mankind will be like this. And this is the beginning of the ages to come. Here we are, these ages to come. And I won't tell you how long they are because they're forever. But that's our Ephesians 2:7. That's our Ephesians 2:7. So when we take a look at this Earth's Great Jubilee, this is really where the understanding of harvest truth really started. When they understood the chronology, and then they figured out the jubilees, these were ones working very, very early in this harvest. They understood these things, and then they said, what does it mean? Oh, the times of restitution. What does that mean? And all the other pieces of God's plan were given by the returned Lord so that we can understand these things today. And that's all. All right.